Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. My name is DJ Wooldridge, and this is the show where we like to talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, and everything else we like to talk about. And with me, as always, is the amazing Roxy Stryer.
Wow, it's almost like I'm Spider-Man.
You are Spider-Man, basically. All I got to say is I've never seen you and Spider-Man in the same room together.
That's so true. The amazing, he was going to almost spoil. And then he was the amazing Spider Roxy Stryer because he didn't want, you know.
It's I didn't want to ruin it. I didn't want to ruin, you know, you've got a life to leave. You have enemies that don't need to know that you're swinging around.
They don't need to know, DJ.
I will say.
Especially not during quarantine. I would be very stuck here.
I would be sitting there.
Green Goblin, can you please wear a mask? Thank you.
Put
your mask on over your nose. Thank you.
I also got to say, you know, choosing LA to be your swinging grounds was a weird choice. Not a lot of places to swing around.
Well, I do feel as if I'm going to be the friendly neighborhood Roxy man, then LA, you know, that sense of community here.
We're definitely not a bunch of transplants. We definitely have a core sense of community.
Our roots are here.
So speaking of roots transition, let's talk about what we're into this week. For those that are new to the show, thank you for joining us. We like to talk about the things that we are into. And for those that are watching live, we talk about the latest pop culture news. Roxy cultivates the best news of the week, and we talk about that. And if you're like, what are you talking about? Roxy and I do the OSA show live every Friday at 10 a.m. And it's a full 2-hour show. And if you want to be a part of that, that's at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And this week in particular is a very special week because not only do we have the full episode of the Only Stupid Answers show up at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, but I have a very special bonus episode where I got to talk to Jason Inman about his new comic, Super Best Friend. He's going to be dropping in for the back half of the episode to talk about that, plus some more comic book goodness. But if you want to hear that whole conversation and listen to this whole episode of the Only Stupid Answers show, like I said, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. That's where it all is. Please go. This is a fan-supported show. So not only do you get extra cool content, but it helps keep this show on the air. So let's get into what we are into this week. Roxy, what are we into?
So every week I try to bring you guys, if you've noticed a pattern, it's because it's there. I try to bring you the show that I am watching that week because I try to at least watch a full TV show every week, binge a new TV show, catch up on a show that I haven't seen in a while or any of those things. And this has been on my list for a really long time. Do you like, DJ, by the way, that I have my format now for these where I give my preamble? I try to like build it up before I reveal what it is I'm talking about.
I appreciate it. You have no idea. You got to build the excitement.
Yeah, I'm building, guys. This is the building phase. So this is a show that's been on my list for a really long time, and I thought that it was perfect for today's episode, especially in which we are going to be later on talking more about the MCU, because I have really wanted to check out this actor and see how he is prior to watching Shang-Chi. And that show is Kim's Convenience, which is starring Simu Liu, who is going to eventually be Shang-Chi. And this show is one of those shows that, similar to a show that I talked about a lot, Working Moms, that I thought was phenomenal, and Schitt's Creek, more popularly, that went from CBC, Canadian Broadcast Company, to Netflix. This is one of those shows. So it is currently on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix, but it did start in Canada. It only came on Netflix, I believe, last year, but it is 4 seasons deep. And I saw that... it was just tweeted out that they're about to drop their 5th season. So when I saw that the tweet came out that they were going to drop their 5th season, I was like, all right, let's go, Rox. Time to binge this show. I am only 2 seasons deep right now, which is not a remark on the show because I started watching it 2 days ago. So it is so good, so fast, really, really heartwarming. Honestly, I couldn't believe that this show didn't get more attention because it's like a family-friendly sitcom.
Yeah.
It's really endearing and sweet, and you love the characters. And honestly, I don't remember. I never watched Fresh Off the Boat, but I don't remember an Asian family sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one. So this is a Korean-Canadian family. And it's about a family that owns a convenience store, Kim's Convenience.
Yeah.
And they have family dysfunction, and some of them have troubled pasts, and some of them are trying to move out, and some of them are sick and tired of working for their parents, and all the things that you would think in a sitcom, but it just has this different spin on it. And it's really, really well done, and the easiest watch.
Very cool.
I don't have to prep anything for it. I don't have to emotionally get like, I put this on when I'm cooking. I put this on when I'm sitting on the couch. I've been putting it on when I'm looking for my apartment. I'm putting it on. It is a great, great palate cleanser. And I kind of can't recommend it enough. Also, I'm now in love with Shang-Chi, which is a problem because then I went to look to see if I could slide in his DMs. And he already has like 150,000 followers. I was thinking like I can get in now because he's so cute.
I do have to say, we have an, you know, asset, you know, if you guys are watching live, you're getting the fucking assets and everything. And I put it up, and of course it's the whole cast, and the first one is Simu Liu, and it's like, oh, that's a handsome boy. And then you see the rest of the cast, which is uniformly handsome because they're all actors. But it did your eyes kind of gravitate toward like, yep, that one's going to be in a movie soon.
Totally. And like, he's just got it going on. He's ripped. He's tall. He's got the cute face and the hot bod. I'm just saying, if you need an extra reason to watch the show, he is it.
Your moment probably would have been like the day before he got the Marvel announcement.
I know, DJ. I know. I'm not a future teller. I wouldn't have known back then. It's really, really good, though. And I think that if you're looking for something that anybody and everybody could watch, like, I could definitely watch this with my grandparents. I could watch this with my little sister. It's never going to make you feel that like embarrassed that a lot of, because especially because it's on Netflix. I just want to make it clear that it's not like, you know, it's not like watching Bridgerton on Netflix.
I was just thinking about the butts in Bridgerton.
Yeah. So I just think that there's not that many shows like this being made for, and it's not made for streaming. That's why it's like this, but there's not that many shows like this that I talk about anymore because I'm not usually watching the next Modern Families of the world, the ABC sitcoms or whatever, but CBC has a great track record for me. I've loved their work, and I'm so glad that this moved over to Netflix because it's really fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's interesting you point out like not a lot of shows, you know, featuring I was going to say an Asian American cast, but it's an Asian Canadian cast. I believe it was Rami Youssef from the Hulu show Rami that pointed out that like a lot of times when we talk about race and representation, it's like it's binary. It's like white and black, and it's like, but there's just a lot of people from a lot of different places that have a lot of different stories, and it's like in my neighborhood alone there's Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, black, white, Latino, like it's the whole shebang. And so I like that stuff like this exists. And how stoked, obviously Simu Liu got the call, boom, you're Shang-Chi and right, it has to be like literally right behind him is that show, like, oh, we're made now. Like, everybody's totally gonna be watching our show now.
And I did see he's been tweeting about the fifth season coming out, and he clearly loves the show.
Good.
And is repping the show all the time and nonstop is tweeting out pictures of the cast. And like after a lot of times when somebody's cast in their big role, they stop talking about their show.
Yeah.
And he clearly is not doing that, which I think is really sweet. Also, for the nerds in here, the guy who plays the dad on this show, his name is Paul Sun Hyung Lee.
Yeah, and Mandalorian.
Yes, not only is he in Mandalorian, but the reason he was cast in Mandalorian is apparently he is a die-hard Star Wars fan.
Love it.
Like, known in the industry as being like just absolute diehard. For those of you guys who watch Movie Trivia Schmodown, I manage Alex Damon, who is the Star Wars champion. He runs the channel Star Wars Explained. He is a big Star Wars person, and he interviewed him on his show, and like, this guy knows his stuff. So it was really cool. I think probably going from Kim's Convenience to being known in the industry as the Star Wars guy to being cast in Mandalorian, that's pretty awesome for him. So, and he's so funny on the show. He's so talented. They all are. It's a really strong group of actors, and they feel like a legitimate family. So Yeah, I would be shocked to see if not more of these characters blow up. I mean, the actors blow up. I don't know what the main girl, Andrea Bang, is doing right now, but she is really, really good too. And I think we'll probably see her in more movies to come.
So quick question with Simu Liu. Was there a Chris Pratt situation where it was like he was pretty normal boy and then you see when he got cast as Shang-Chi and now he's like fucking jacked?
Well, I don't know, because on the show, they definitely downplay his looks. But you know when you can tell they're downplaying somebody's looks? Mm-hmm. Like by dressing them in like a little more oversized clothes or doing whatever. I think it was still under there. They're just not, they weren't like utilizing it as much.
Yeah.
But then DJ, when I go, because obviously I stalk people on IMDb. It's my most used app. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys can see this, but like this is the second picture.
Good Lord.
And I'm
good
like,
Lord.
I'm like, so we don't see that on the show.
Yeah, that's a handsome boy. Well,
that's certainly not on the show.
I can't remember. Did you watch The Good Place?
Yes.
The joke of like how ripped Chidi was. It's like, well, yeah, in the real world, Chidi would not be, but he's an actor, a successful yes. actor. So he's probably got a personal trainer. So yeah, he is.
Yes, 100%. So I feel like on the show, they're always trying to like, he's kind of, it's so funny because he's like, I wonder, he must have auditioned for the crap out of Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Because on this show, he is a little bumbly, kind of like goofy, silly. He's still, obviously because he's him, he's still sexy as hell.
Yeah.
But that's so not what they're playing into. He's like a little bit of an F up and just making his way through life, a little lost. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So to go from that to Shang-Chi, you wouldn't see this and be like, that's our Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Like, that's him. He must have knocked his audition out of the park because you would never pick him up from this. Not that he wasn't talented, but just that he's more like goofy.
Yeah. Well, I got to admit, that really excites me because for me, Shang-Chi in the comics, not that he's not a cool character, but it's basically like Bruce Lee, but a superhero is essentially like, there's not like, he's typically not the most deep, complex of the characters in the stories I've read him in. So the idea of casting this somebody that at the time was a relative unknown, like at least for me of, you know, the rumors that were sworn, like this, his seemingly did not come up at all until he was actually cast.
No, I had never heard of him.
And talking about he has more comedic chops, that actually really excites me because it's like, oh, you're going to make me like this guy. Like I'm going to be, and that's the one thing Marvel, say what you will about some of their movies and stuff like that. I think the casting has been uniformly great.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I have no doubt that he's going to be amazing.
His timing is stellar.
Love it.
Like his timing is excellent and he's really good with his eyes, like his glances and subtle movements. He's very, very good. So it's bizarre to say Kim's Convenience has me excited for Shang-Chi, mm-hmm. but it does.
Well, and then pairing him off with Awkwafina, I have a feeling this movie is going to be a lot funnier than we give it credit for. Let's talk about possibly the best Chris. I think Chris Pine is up there personally. But Roxy,
mm-hmm.
what do you know about what's going on with Chris Evans?
So it sounds like Deadline cracked the story that Chris Evans was going to be coming back as Captain America to the MCU for one, possibly two movies. Then Chris Evans tweeted out with no quote tweet, nothing, just a solo tweet that said, news to me, with one of these emojis.
Yeah.
Very similarly to how everybody else who's been cast in everything else they've been cast has done it. So I don't give that much merit. I think that, you know, I don't know if this is true. I think it's probably 95% true. I don't even know if he comes back, though, what it would be in. Would it be in a Spider-Man movie? Would it be in a Doctor Strange movie? Those kind of seem to be two of the standout options that would make it make sense.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think it would be in a Captain America movie because that certainly wouldn't make sense. There's already been speculation that he might be coming to Disney Plus and might be making some cameos in like a Captain America and the Winter Soldier or a Loki or something. So I would like to see him back. It's so weird that he was so adamant about not coming back and now all of a sudden is. I was talking to my brother about this, though, who's an Uber nerd as well. And he did bring up a good point where he said, I don't know when these conversations started, but if they started recently, it's very possible, because Chris Evans is as politically involved as he is and cares as much about the planet as he does, that he saw the state of the world and decided that he wanted to be Captain America again and had a change of heart based on everything that is going on.
Yeah. Apparently. That's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Also, the bucket loads of money that he would probably get paid.
Yeah, but I really don't really feel like that is a determining factor for him at this point, because I think he's doing financially fine. I think he also has a pick of the litter of projects. So, like, I don't know. When he left, that bucket of money still would have been there, but he clearly said he wanted to move on to other projects. So I do feel like this is probably a moral decision, like a decision of the heart as opposed to the mind. And I certainly don't think anybody's mad at it.
No, not at all. I also wonder with a lot of these, I wonder if maybe there was an offer there to be like, hey, come back as Steve Rogers, but you don't have to spend every waking moment in the gym. Because I have to imagine that factors into it for some of these people, the toll this takes on their body, because normal humans do not operate at the physical level that these actors are forced to operate at when they're playing superheroes, when they, you know, like when he's having to fucking pull the helicopter back in, like it's a lot. And I think there are people like The Rock that this is their lives, but I imagine there's got to be people like Chris Evans that are like, man, I want to work out like a normal person for once in my life.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I think that he is a really, and obviously I do not know him.
Mm-hmm.
I do know several people who do know him. And also, he's from Boston, so I have that place in my heart for him.
So you know him a little bit.
So I know him a little bit. I do think he is a unique cat in the sense that I think that he seemingly is actually a really good guy.
Love it.
And is somebody who really loves what he does and is really grateful for what he does. And then at the end of the day, just wants to be a normal dude. So what you're saying probably resonates, because he's a guy who, like, throws board game nights and, mm-hmm. like, hangs out with his sister and, you know, like wants to just kind of be a person.
Yeah.
But happens to love being an actor. So I could definitely see him not wanting to have to do that part of it, because he's not The Rock, and he's not one of these guys who's like, beefed up, let's do it. Like, I think he loves what he does, but also like kind of like just likes living.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know him, but from the people that I know who do, that seems to check out to me, DJ.
Yeah. So we've got Boiler Huff mentions, as people speculating what he could be in. Boiler Huff says Skrull as Cap in Secret Invasion, Alt Universe Cap in Doctor Strange 2, or first came to mind for me. Some different version of Cap seem more likely than continuing Prime Cap story at this point. Nathan Mann says this is an ultra long shot, but Chris Evans being a supporting character in a new limited season of Peggy Carter would be killer. I agree with that. Something that was floated around as a joke online that I was like, actually, that you're joking, but I could see it, was the idea of him coming back as a version of Peter Parker in the Spider-Man 3. And there's not been any confirmation of Tobey Maguire signing back on. And it's like, if they can't get Toby, having Chris Evans fill that same role as a Peter Parker doesn't feel impossible to me.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I also heard talk about them doing like almost a Batman Beyond type thing. And him coming back as like old man Cap.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting. I don't know that there's, there was also talk about, which I thought would be so cool. I don't think this is happening, but how he returned all the Infinity Stones, like a series on that. And I mean, that would be so, so awesome. But I think that probably most likely would be a Spider-Man movie where Cap is somehow like different version of Cap, different Earth Cap, but more Marvelized than DCized,
yeah.
Is taking over the Iron Man role of being mentor to Spider-Man for one movie. We saw him with Iron Man, then we saw him with Mysterio. That didn't work. Somehow a Cap type thing, mentorship, yeah. One-off. I think that could be really cool.
So with that in mind, let's take a second, because obviously we're going to talk about WandaVision in a minute. Let's take a second to talk about the future of the MCU and what it looks like. Because obviously with people like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. And Scarlett Johansson sort of, even though her movie's coming out soon, are no longer a part of it.
Unless it's not.
Good point. Unless it's not. Eventually, theoretically, it will come out eventually.
Yeah, there's just been talk, especially this week, about unless it's not.
Unless it's not. When you say that, unless it's not, is it doesn't come out at all?
No. Definitely coming out, but you said soon. And yes. May seemingly is not going to be May.
Yeah, we don't need to get into all that. That touches into whole other things. I guess the question being, you know, because obviously you and I have both seen the first three episodes of WandaVision and seeing how much that diverges from what we've seen in the future. The question being, where do we see the MCU going from here? Roxy, do you have any just thoughts right off the bat of like what we could be seeing more of down the line?
I think that they put themselves in a really, really strong position.
Yeah.
Because I know that at the end of this past phase, we were like, well, now we're getting rid of Cap and Iron Man, and there's no world in which this is going to be as good in the next phase. But now we're introducing all these new great characters. And we've built up the ones that, like Spider-Man, we still have him. And I think people are really, really behind this Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for Eternals and Shang-Chi and for where this is to go. There's characters that I think that really are going to bring new light into this. So even though I know that WandaVision takes a major departure from this formulaic machine that is the MCU, I don't mind when we have similar formulas, but we are bringing complete new light in. And I think these new characters will do so. And I think that they're going to listen to the fans and see what we want in terms of who we're responding to.
Yeah.
So I do think that obviously putting a major wrench into their plans, DJ, was of course the loss of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
I think that the next phase of the MCU was really going to be I think it was going to be Black Panther's face. Like, yeah. I really think that was a huge, huge part of what their plans were. So that's the only kind of question mark for me. Now, what do they do there? But other than that, I think that they've set up a really strong base and we're going to bring in different characters, more diversity, diversity in appearance, diversity of backgrounds. And I think that we're going to do that in a way that it makes the movies feel fresh and new.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because, you know, talking about Eternals, going into it, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of talk about how this is going to be different. And it's like, yeah, but even the stuff that was different, like the Guardians was pretty different. It wasn't that different. Like, it wasn't like a huge departure. And then watching WandaVision, I was like, you know what? Eternals might be fucking weird. Like, Eternals might be really off the map, because they are taking advantage of all the goodwill they've built up. And I still feel like every good thing comes to an end. At some point, they're going to hit a bridge they just can't. A property they can't surmount. And I would have thought Eternals would have been it, but then watching WandaVision, like, you know what? Maybe not. Like, maybe we're not there until Kevin Feige's like, I'm done. And then the next person comes up and like drops the ball or something.
Totally.
Looking down the line, and as you accurately pointed out, you know, all this stuff is up in the air, but this year we should be looking at getting Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and the Eternals. Because you know
what a year.
Because you were piling, and that's not even including the shows. I'm assuming you got a similar email I got, Roxy, with this is the Disney slate for 2021, and it's like, you know, you got WandaVision, you got Falcon, Winter Soldier, you've got Miss Marvel, you've got Loki, you've got like, it's like, this is insane. This is insane. But I do hope that they, and it looks like they are, they're using this opportunity to really diversify their line, try new things. Bringing up the Chadwick Boseman thing, because I think that's a really interesting point, is how do you think somebody like Brie Larson's Captain Marvel is in a position to kind of take that the because what I think of when you mention that is, you know, Black Panther is essentially going to be the Iron Man or the Cap of this phase, and I would have assumed it would have been like a Captain Marvel Black Panther two-hander, and I can see it going a couple ways. I could see it being, we kind of start, even though Captain Marvel was probably not their best received movie, Brie Larson is a very talented actress, and there's a lot of room to like lock in. Like it took them three movies to figure out Thor. So you know what I mean? Like they could like lock in Captain Marvel, and they're a really good place to be in that position. The other thing I think of is if I were Kevin Feige, and of course I am not, I would be very seriously looking at the possibility of bringing Michael B. Jordan back to function in a similar role, because Michael B. Jordan is a fucking megastar. Like he is a fucking star. You know what I mean? And so he has the mega wattage to lead a franchise like that.
It's the only thing they haven't said they're not doing. They have said, we're not CGIing Chadwick. They have said, we're not recasting T'Challa.
Yeah.
But they haven't said, we're not bringing back a Michael B. Jordan or giving somebody else the Black Panther mantle.
Yeah.
So that it's possible. I think that their backs are against the wall a little bit when it comes to Brie Larson's character, because as much as I actually love the Captain Marvel movie, mm-hmm. I loved that movie. I am in a clear minority on that. There was a group of people who definitely thought it was fine. And then there was a lot of people who really didn't like it. And a huge part of that was because of people not liking the character. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a huge, because as much as some people didn't like the Thor movies, you didn't hear hate for Thor.
Yeah.
You heard hate for the movie. Now, obviously calling a spade, a good amount of this is sexism.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anybody who didn't like this movie is sexist by any means. It's so not what I'm saying. But people who don't like her character or her in the role, some of it, a percentage of that is because they would never have liked her character. So that's a really hard thing to base an entire phase around.
Yeah.
When that, but at the same time, it's interesting because while Marvel has been handing DC beers for years and saying, you know, we've hold our beer because we've got this and you guys do not know what you're doing, the one thing that DC has up on Marvel is that everybody's favorite character in the DC is a woman.
Yeah. And their second favorite's probably a woman too, with Harley Quinn.
Yeah. somehow the DC managed to botch a lot of things, but somehow they managed to put over two incredible female characters.
Yeah.
And Marvel hasn't been able to do that the same way yet. So
yeah, I wonder if you have thoughts on that. Cause I think like, for me, I think it's, I would attribute it to like, DC just got what made Wonder Woman work, and they were smart enough to get Patty Jenkins in there, and it just kind of it fucking clicked. Whereas like it feels like the machinery around Marvel didn't know what to do with Captain Marvel, and it's not complicated. Like it's a weird thing, and I also think I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you're not the biggest Black Widow fan. But
that's totally accurate.
But I watching
not,
those
not in general, not like I'm not the biggest Black Widow as a character fan. I am not the biggest fan of her in the MCU.
I'm having rewatched the MCU a couple times. It blows my mind that we're now just getting a Black Widow movie.
It's mind blowing.
I think that would have been their Wonder Woman, because it was there. It was organic. It worked. Like they didn't need to do. They didn't need to figure anything out. They just needed to do a Black Widow movie and have a woman director do it. And
that's all. And they just needed to do that sometime in the last decade. You know, like that's the crazy, incredible part, that they didn't do that. And so, you know, like the most time I have ever spent with a woman in the MCU is WandaVision.
That's true. Yeah.
So,
and
it's no wonder I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you feel the same way. I kind of feel like Vision kind of upstages her a little bit.
Oh, interesting. Well, we'll definitely talk about that. Interesting though.
Yeah. It's because anyway, we will get into it, even though I 100% think it's her show. We'll get into that more later. Let's talk about these questions from the Discord. Fly Guy Ty asks, which of the Disney Plus MCU shows do you think will be the best, and which do you think will be the worst? Worst obviously being a comparative thing, because they're probably all of pretty decent quality.
Yeah, I did think that the one I was most concerned about was WandaVision, and I don't have those concerns anymore.
Same.
I kind of think that WandaVision might be the best. I think that... So what do we got? We've got Loki, we've got Captain Winter...
We got Captain America, Winter Soldier, the show. Yeah, with Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Falcon, Winter Soldier.
we've got Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel... We've got Secret Invasion, Armor Wars, Ironheart. Wow.
I can't tell which of those I think is going to be the worst.
Well, let me phrase it this way.
Secret Invasion, because how are they going to do it in a show and that quickly, I guess?
I think that's a good one. That actually might be where we're getting Chris Evans back. Let me phrase it this way then. What excites you most and what excites you least of those shows?
Really excited to see the rest of WandaVision. Not as excited about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why, because that should be maybe the one that excites me the most. Excited about Loki, but feel like they could really botch it. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
I'm also slightly concerned that we might be hitting the multiverse button a little bit too quickly, too hard. Yeah, because like when they did that whole thing, it's like, wait, WandaVision and Loki and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man all doing the same thing?
Totally. She-Hulk, that's a definite excitement. What are you most excited about? I'm blabbing.
Well, I like that you mentioned She-Hulk, because before I would have assumed that like, oh, this is just going to be another Marvel show. And now it's like, no, it might legitimately be a sitcom with She-Hulk, like a lawyer sitcom with She-Hulk. Now watching WandaVision, it's like literally
they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
All bets are off now. Like everything I assumed what these shows would be, I don't feel comfortable assuming anymore, which is really exciting. Like it's a really cool place to be. I'm really excited for Moon Knight because I got a lot of love for the character. I will be honest. I kind of hope that like my career fortune, like I was hoping Moon Knight was low enough on the totem pole that I might get enough of a career at some point that Moon Knight could be my guy. Like I could do Moon Knight. So it's bumming me out a little bit that it's like, you got to him before I even have a career. I am excited for that show because I do like Oscar Isaac as an actor. And I'm interested to see what they do. I'm excited.
And go Jews.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see the rest of WandaVision. I am excited for Falcon Winter Soldier because I liked Captain America Winter Soldier a lot. So if you're like six more episodes of that, I'm like, sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm not excited for anything. Just if you're asking me what's the thing that's least getting my juices flowing, that one.
Yes. So the other question we have before we move on to WandaVision, do you think the characters introduced in the Disney Plus shows will show up in the movies? In what capacity would you like to see them utilized, or would you rather them be Defenders-esque crossover shows?
The characters introduced in the Disney Plus shows. I think that they will show up in the movies if they're popular.
Yes.
So if they make the money, I think that they will. And I think that they definitely have a way better shot of showing up in the movies than when they were being introduced on Netflix or all the other characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah.
What do you think about the rumors? There were rumors, either this time bleeds together, this week or last week, that Kristen Daredevil. Ritter's Jessica Jones would be showing up in She-Hulk. And obviously there's the rumors that Charlie Cox will show up in Spider-Man. And for me, I love those actors. I love them in those roles, but I do think it opens up further down you go that hole. It's like, so do you get Mike Coulter back as Luke Cage, but he's on Evil now? He has his own show. What do we do about the Iron Fist of it all?
I think it's fair. I think it's a fair question. Kevin Feige talked about this a little bit this week where he said that he never say never with the Netflix characters, which makes me think if they didn't have any intentions on bringing them back, he would have said never.
Mm-hmm.
And instead he said never say never, which makes me think that they probably are going to do that. I think that he also said that not all the rumors about the Spider-Man movie are true, but I kind of think we're going to see Daredevil make an appearance in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then all bets are effing off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then why not bring Jessica Jones into She-Hulk? Like, why not? So I do kind of think that, that's where we're going.
I think bringing those characters in is smart. I'm just interested to see if they go through the effort of recasting or casting the Netflix one, just because I think the further you go down that line, the more tricky the propositions become. But all four seeing them, and I think you're right. I think for the Disney Plus shows show up in the movies, I'm sure some of them are planned on it. I'm sure some of them are going to have a Defenders-esque show, because they're clearly building towards Young Avengers, and I'll just be interested to see if that's going to be a Disney Plus show or if that's going to be their next Avengers movie is Young Avengers with all these Disney Plus characters. And maybe that depends on how well they're received. Like if everybody loves Hawkeye, everybody loves Ms. Marvel, everybody loves, you know what I mean, all this stuff, then it's like, cool movie. If they're like, they're pretty good, we like them on Disney Plus, it's like, okay, Disney Plus show.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yes to that.
So let us know. We've got some people in the chat talking about Disney Plus. Kevin doesn't want Disney Plus. Caitlin Conroy says she's actually really excited for Secret Invasion. She thinks it'll be there's a lot of potential there. I would be surprised if we don't see Clark Gregg return at some point in Secret Invasion. And that's kind of a Nick Fury show. We're dealing with Skrulls. It's like that might be a good way to bring back Coulson in some way. Kaylor Marie says WandaVision. Really, of the shows, that seems different and unique, and they have her on board. And Glenn Caesar says WandaVision as well. Kayla Marie would love to see Kristen Ritter back as Jessica Jones. So
yeah, me too. Just like the fan in me. I don't know if it makes much sense in some ways or if it would cause more problems than it's worth, but she is, to me, of everybody, like one of the most perfectly cast people of all time. She's so good
in that role. But again, then it opens up the question. So like, did Purple Man exist? Is the Marvel stuff going to acknowledge that, because that's dark? Is now Hellcat basically thrown under the bus? Because they straight up threw the character of Hellcat under the bus. And I'm not saying it didn't merit in the story or any of that stuff. It's just one of those, like, if you can't, I don't know if they had plans for Hellcat, but like, if it's that version of the character, you can't use her anymore.
Yeah, totally.
All right, if you want to listen to the rest of the OSA show where Roxy and I talk about WandaVision or the latest details in the Ray Fisher Justice League case, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. But now let's welcome our very special guest for today, the wonderful Mr. Jason Inman. Say hi, Jason.
Hello. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason. How are you? How are things?
I'm pretty good, man. I think I'm just as stressed about everybody else in 2021 is currently the new year, but I'm also have a very positive outlook. So, I'm in a good mood.
Speaking of making things and being positive and all that stuff, you have a new comic coming out.
That's correct, man. And it is a super positive comic. It even has super in the title. It's called Super Best Friend. It's coming to Kickstarter on January 19th. If you're listening to this in the far future, it's already live. And it is, what if the best friend of the world's greatest superhero live streamed all of his adventures? This is sort of a meta-contextual take on my time, like yourself, covering fandom and hosting DC All Access. It's the idea that Mattie Moore, who is the best friend of the world's greatest superhero, Captain Terrific, who is a superhero I've had for many, many years and had many different stories, and actually created him back in college in 2006.
Wow.
And Mattie Moore live streams all the adventures of Captain Terrific to a channel called Super Best Friend. He gets millions of views. He's super popular. All the villains know him. And the hook of the story happens where he accidentally live streams the wrong thing and gives away Captain Terrific's secret identity. His best friend's secret identity is now loose in the world. And this kid, who has been the world's biggest super fan, now has to become a superhero, or at least a hero in his own right, to fix this grievous error that he made against his best friend.
So I love it. And so you've had this character for a while. You've been working on this character for a while. What made you finally like pull the trigger on this story?
Well, you know, the fun story about this is that I actually started drawing, hired an artist for this. George Kemba dies. Is the artist. He's a very amazing Greek artist. He's worked for DC and he's done a bunch of different stuff. He actually posted, I've been a fan of his forever. He posted on Twitter that he had an open period in his schedule. And he was like, hey, I'm looking for work. And I immediately emailed him and said, hey, I got this idea called Super Best Friend. Like, would this work in your schedule? And he immediately said yes. And hell so yeah. To anybody out there that wants to make a comic book, I think no matter the skill level or the height, because I actually thought George was a little bit out of my, you know, look, he's a lot cooler than me. He's a lot more famous than me.
Yes.
And he's super talented. So I was waiting for him to automatically say no. And he said yes. So I would say if you see an artist, even if it's like Dan Juergens,
yeah,
Dan Juergens says, hey, I'm looking for work, shoot him your idea.
Yeah. And maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. And that's the thing. You just got to be ready. Just be ready for the no sometimes.
Because I did not know George besides being a fan of George before this project.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I think a lot of this story reflects a lot, of course, like Jimmy Olsen, that kind of a thing, and the Silver Age. Do you think we're kind of like in a Silver Age Renaissance, excuse me, as people are like revisiting stories from the Silver Age and incorporating them into like more modern comics and stuff like that?
I actually do. And I think the big reason about that is when you look at our world, right, we are exactly in this year, 20 years from 9/11. This will be the 20th anniversary. And when you look at the 20 years, the whole world changed. The world even got a little bit darker. I think it got more serious. And even especially if you look at the last 4 years, you know, things have gotten serious. And then with the pandemic, I think people are looking for what we talked about before, positivity in their stories, because they're looking at the real world and they're like, oh boy, it's grim.
Yeah.
And I think when they see media, they want positivity. And what was the most positive time of comic books? The G. Willikers, Superman turned into a bug of the Silver Age.
He did turn into a bug.
And a lion and an ape. And
there was a lot going on in this one. Couldn't he shoot miniature multicolored versions of himself from his hands?
Yes, he could.
Good times.
He also was a super ventriloquist.
Well, I mean, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be. So this is your fourth campaign?
Actually, technically, this is my sixth crowdfunding campaign. Okay. This is my fourth Kickstarter campaign.
So
we really did Indiegogo for the first two. Why? I don't know.
My best success has been Indiegogo. So
there you go.
What are your thoughts now that you've done this? You've done six crowdfunding campaigns. What have you learned? How have you grown? How are you tackling this one differently than you've done the ones in the past?
Well, this one, I hope by this point that we've grown a little bit of a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding audience, because this is the fourth one on Kickstarter. This is the sixth total. So I hope by now people trust that we will deliver.
Yeah.
Because I didn't start this campaign until we were officially done shipping Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio. And with all the COVID delays of that, I wanted Super Best Friend to launch in October of last year. And then I kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And to be honest with you, I think it was best that it delayed to January 2021. The interesting thing about this is I'm still just as nervous for this one as I was for the first one. I am not taking anybody for granted. I'm still like, this could bomb. Like, I don't think it will, because I think people trust that we're going to deliver a comic book and they know the quality of my writing now.
Yeah.
Because this will be the fourth comic book that I've launched through Kickstarter. And every single one of them delayed. Every one of them have been, or two of them have been Ringo nominated. So like, we have a quality standard. So, but I'm still really nervous. I don't know. Long answer. I'm still nervous. I'm still nervous that Tuesday morning I'm going to click launch and nobody's going to show up.
Yeah, no, I totally get that too. Cause it's a little bit different than like, if you've got a book coming through, like even like a indie publisher, like Dark Horse, somebody that's footing the bill. And then it's like, oh man, if it bombs, then like, that's going to be tough. And it's like, this is different because it's like, if this bombs, I'm out not an insignificant amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the great thing is that the great thing with this one is the book's done.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally done. The only thing that needs to be left is some final lettering,
basically,
and some final coloring. Like, George is going to do some adjustments on some things that we changed the last minute. But I basically paid for this book out of my own pocket. I paid the letter, I paid the editor, so it is completely paid for. So the campaign is literally to do, can we do an issue two? This is issue one. And in the ultimate goal, I would love to have 348 issues of Super Best Friend, like three campaigns. And I set up the first 48 pages. I have the entire story outlined. Like, I know where it's going.
Yeah.
But this is really like, I'm going to leave it up to the Kickstarter comic book fans. If this funds, then hey, we get issue two. Yeah. If this doesn't, then well, that's all Super Best Friend, everybody.
Yeah, that's all she wrote. So with this is a kind of shorter like a part one, like a first issue of Super Best Friend compared to something.
Well, you can kind of consider it's kind of act one of a three act story.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So comparing that to something like Jupiter Jet, which is closer to like a full six issue arc or whatever, do you anticipate, like, if this does well, do you anticipate doing more campaign, like maybe having the next campaign come out sooner than maybe the next campaign of Jupiter Jet would, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean,
doing it more frequently, I guess, is the right way to phrase it.
That would be my hope. I know, because we launched Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio a year ago. Like, it was literally a year ago. I would hope to do this a little bit sooner because they're smaller. Now a lot of that depends on George, a lot of that depends on how does the pandemic impact everything? I honestly don't know. Like, we're very much in a world. I would love to do the second campaign somewhere this year.
Yeah.
But when that will be, I just honestly don't know. Because honestly, as well, I think my schedule can really only handle two Kickstarters a year.
Yeah.
That's like the max I can do. But yes, that would be the hope, is that we could like speed up. It also would be the hope that like, as the campaign gets funded, the issues, the tiers can become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Yeah. Because, you know, by the time we get to the third one, it'll be completely funded. Like, I'm always going to use the current campaign to fund the next one.
Yeah. So with all that in mind, so you've got let's say major success, doors are blown off, you're going to do the three issues. Do you see yourself expanding into like a full superhero universe? Is Jupiter Jet going to cross over with Super Best Friend?
No, I don't think Jupiter Jet will cross over because,
you know what? That's exactly what Kevin Feige would say. And he lies. He's a liar.
No, I see Jupiter Jet is like in her own world, and it's so funny. And the only reason I know this is because we worked all the future volumes of Jupiter Jet out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's really in her own pocket. Like, she doesn't exist in this universe. Now, I will say that the characters from Science and the Science Academy, they definitely could exist in this world. And now that you've brought it up, maybe I should do a cameo. Mm-hmm. That might be fun. Super Best Friend has a definitive ending for Maddie Moore and Captain Terrific.
Yeah.
But I will say, and on the great advice of a good friend of mine, Mr. Jeremy Skinner, when I sent him the issues early, and I let him read it, there is a superhero, there is a Justice League that is introduced in this that Captain Terrific is a part of. Yeah. And it's a team called the Assembly.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I dig it.
Yeah, there are four other members of the Assembly, and I have designed them all to where they could all be spun off. They all are very unique. They're all very different. Yeah. They also would all have very different tones from Super Best Friend.
I love it.
And depending on, you know, how the campaign goes, how people appreciate Super Best Friend. But I will say this, Super Best Friend, Captain Terrific and Maddie Moore's story will end with Super Best Friend. Now, that doesn't mean that like we couldn't see more of them after, but like when you see the ending, you'll realize like, oh, okay, maybe we won't see Captain Terrific again.
But you're talking about the end of the hype, the whole three parts.
Yes, the whole of the three parts.
Well, you guys got to turn up, tune out.
I will say you will meet the Assembly in this first volume.
So you guys got to go contribute. So not only can we get all three parts, but also we can have Jason Eady's words and have Jupiter Jet hang out with Captain Terrific. That's all I'm... listen. If it gets funded enough, I would imagine anything's on the table. So
I will tell you this. I looked into this, and one of the stretch goals that I really want them, but they're so expensive, is in the 90s, my favorite trading card set was this Superman. It was like a 1996. It was Skybox, and it was hologram cards.
Yep.
And I've looked
into that, too.
Yep. I want a Captain Terrific and a Maddie Moore hologram card. Yep. But I'll tell you what, I bet you, and you know this too, they are so expensive to print. that unless this campaign would have to like blow up huge for me able to get there.
Are you talking about like the 3D hologram, not just the shiny ones, like the 3D holographic one?
Yeah, well, the shiny ones are super expensive. Yeah. Anyway, like we would have to double fund at the minimum for me to even consider it.
But they're so cool.
They are cool. I really want it. I mean, I have some really cool. I have some really cool like stretch goals planned. That is one that I'm like, if we blow up super big, that is one that's going to happen. I want to add pages to the book. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to include all of the other Captain Terrific stories in this if we get the stretch goals. I've even considered a variant cover by myself because I doodle
very
here and there.
Cool. Very cool.
And I thought
cool.
that maybe people would like that. So.
All right. So for lay out all the info the kids at home need one more time so they know where to go.
So Super Best Friend number one, it's a superhero comic book, a 48-page comic book. It's going to be on Kickstarter from January 19th to February 18th. You can go to superbestfriendcomic.com. The comic is very important. Or it'll be all over my Twitter at twitter.com/Jawin. If you want a fun superhero adventure, 48 pages, you're going to love this. And I have an interesting thing. We have a lot of early bird specials. We have a flash funding goal. If we hit 75% of our goal in the first 48 hours, I'm going to give my backers a Thief PDF, which is the second story that Captain Terrific ever appeared in, and the very first piece of art that George ever drew of Maddie Moore and Captain Terrific, I will give to every backer. So you want to come early because all the good stuff is in the early days.
Yep. So check all that out. Show up. Get this comic funded so we can get more adventures. We can see this whole story.
The Jupiter Jet shared universe.
Shared you. Hey, listen. If you make all the money, you know, and that's what the kids want. I just, you know, who's to
I'll
say?
I'll consider it.
So. Go support this amazing comic. Go support Jason. He always turns out amazing stuff. And I got my Jupiter Jet package, and it was very lovely put together. I know for people that maybe don't contribute to Kickstarter, they're like, "What do you mean?" Just the way it was, you guys packed everything was very nice.
Man, we are and I'm doing that on Super Best Friend as well. Like, I'm very concerned about. I don't ever want somebody to get like a broken comic or a ripped in half comic, and with all the crazy postal service stuff that happened in 2020, like we like super duper.
Yeah,
made sure it was sealed and bubble wrapped and everything.
Well, this won't interest the kids at home, but later I do want to know where you specifically got the boxes you got, because I was looking for those online and I could not find them for the life of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, now on to what you kids at home like. So we've got some questions from the Discord. If people want to submit questions to our show, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. For those that don't know, Roxy and I every week do OSA, the OSA show live every Friday at 10 a.m. 2-hour show where we talk about everything we want to talk about. So that's at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. So check that out. But some questions we've got here, starting with ST82884. Thoughts on DC Future State so far, and which characters do you think will stick? And we've also got a Future State question from Danny, who also wants to know what your thoughts are on Future State.
I really liked the John Ridley Batman. John Ridley is a fantastic writer.
Yeah.
They should just give him Batman full time.
Yeah.
Honestly,
if his schedule will allow it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's writing Oscar winning movies left and right. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's too busy. I thought that was really good. I really liked, I have a hard time remembering all the titles because they've changed all the titles slightly. So it's like, it's next Batman. And then it's not Wonder Woman. It's Wonder Woman something.
It's the Immortal Wonder Woman. And then there's Wonder Woman with, what is it, Yara Flor, the new Wonder Woman?
Yes, yeah. Yara Flor, the Joelle Jones, I really liked.
Yeah.
I like that as well. And I'm very excited for the Superman of War World, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, who is a pal of mine. I'm very excited for that book.
Looks amazing. Yeah, I also checked out Wonder Woman, which I really dug. Of course, I think that's what sets the best Future State books apart is the art. A lot of times it's like you'll get some like really some top tier stuff, and it's interesting to see how they're putting it together, because I think a lot of people, I feel like you and I probably discuss this too. Of course, there's some behind the scenes drama where there's supposed to be a big, what was it, 5G or whatever they were calling it.
Yeah, it was let's be honest here. You can tell that this is 5G repackaged. But I will tell you this, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, if you spent that much time and that much money on creating 5G, of course you're going to repackage it because you have all this material. It's, yeah. You know, I mean, it's very similar to the Snyder Cut and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I don't know, to be honest with you, I'm glad that the writers, that their work, the creators and the artists and stuff like that, their work is not just being shelved indefinitely. Because yeah. you hear about that in comic books all the time. Like, it was 20 years until we saw Justice League Avengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and they had like a lot of that book like just sitting in a cabinet somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that too. I would be interested someday down the line if we're able to find out what happened, because I assumed it was a straight repackage, but some of it feels like, hey, you know that 6-issue arc you wanted to do? You have 2 issues to do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And because they yeah. fucking buck through a lot of stuff. So as far as the question of who do you think of these characters, who do you think will stick around? How much of this, you know, obviously there's talk about Yara Flor getting her own Wonder Girl show. So odds are that she will have some sort of function.
And that was greenlit for an entire first season.
Yeah. Recently. So yeah. I think it's safe to assume that she will be showing up in the comics, for the foreseeable future in some form or fashion. How much do you think Future State will stick around?
Very little. Very little. I could see Future State being, back in the 90s, they used to do these fifth week events.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what fifth week is, it's like, there's like 4 times a year, there's always a fifth week. And yeah. since comics are published on a 4-week schedule, they have to fill that space because otherwise they wouldn't be publishing comics. And they used to do these really cool events in the 90s where it was like, they would be like, hey, Dan Jurgens, reinvent the entire DC universe. Okay, here's Tangent.
Yeah.
Here's Year One. Here's like JLA Apes, which nobody loves. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see if just like once a year, hey, we're going back to Future State. We're going to revisit the characters. Yeah. They're 1 year later in their lives. Let's see what's going on. Other than that, I think they might just pick and take some pieces. Like, I don't think next Batman's going anywhere.
Yeah,
I actually think they're gonna fold him into the regular DC universe somehow.
Mm-hmm. I like his costume design.
Yeah, I do too. Lot. Nick Jarian, yeah, did Nick a great Garrington, job.
Yeah, he just posted both versions, and I'm glad that we're getting a version like that doesn't cover his mouth. Because it's like, yeah. we got a black Batman. We people should be able to see that he's black. Like you can't just disguise that.
I agree. Yeah, I had the same thought. I was yeah. like,
we should be allowed a little bit of room to celebrate that, and people should yeah. be allowed to know that. That's a good thing. Yeah. I'm very excited for Superman and World. I haven't had a chance to check out Justice League yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
I haven't read that one either. Oh, you know, another one I did like was The Swamp Thing by Ram 5.
Yeah, is that how you pronounce his name?
I don't know.
Okay, it's Ram 5 or Ram V.
I assume it's Ram 5.
Because I love that as well. He also did a good chunk of the most recent Justice League Dark run, which I thought was overall very excellent. And his issues in particular were very good. And I think it was a one-shot annual something that focused on Swamp Thing and the Floronic Man that he wrote that was like, oh, this guy gets Swamp Thing. Like, he understands it. So I know he's doing Swamp Thing in the future. So I'm very excited for that book as well. Did you get a chance to check out any of Death Metal or the last issue?
I did. Mm-hmm. I read the main issue.
I had an opportunity to read the I personally tend to skip events just as a rule.
Yeah. I tend to skip event tie-ins.
That's good. So but I had an opportunity to check out the last issue, and I read it, and it kind of reminded me of a Zero Hour, because it's like, if the goal was to simplify things, this ain't it.
Death Metal, I thought I loved how it focused on Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I love the art. I'll be honest with you, and I would love anybody on Twitter, please help me out. I don't know what happened in the ending.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just don't know. And I think you're apt of, it seems like everything is back in continuity, which, but if that's the case, that's kind of the way I've been operating for the last 5 years anyway.
But what does that mean? Like, we have a lot of characters say, I remember everything. Time out. So does that mean Batman remembers adventures in 1938 and he is now aware that he's been around for almost 100 years?
Like, I don't know.
Because you can't just say everything happened now, because what does that mean?
I thought your zero hour is the perfect comparison. Yeah, like, it I know the whole point was to simplify things, but you're right. They like, I'm not to say that the story is bad in any way. Yeah. I'm just like, it's specifically the comic book continuity of it all, but comic book continuity is always confusing, like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I ignore most of it, but
yes.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I got to the ending and I was like, I don't know what this means for the new DC universe at all.
Yeah.
So I hope they put out a guidebook or something, or I hope somebody does an interview or a video for, you know, I just don't know.
Yeah, I think just stop poking at it. At this point,
I agree.
You just stop poking at it. Just let it be what it is. And we just move forward.
I've said this for years. I always say make your own continuity.
Yeah.
If you like to think that the Rainbow Batman, and I do, are in continuity,
yep.
then they are.
Yep.
If you like to think that Superman has been operating since the Depression, then he has. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like the New 52, then ignore it. Cool. Yeah. Just... That's what I do, man.
Yeah.
I ignore the stories I hate, and I remember the stories that I do. Even if they say they're not in continuity anymore, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's an important thing. You just got to tackle each story as it comes, and hopefully the writer does a good enough job that
yeah.
it's able to stand on its own, that it's not dependent on
yes.
any sort
what
of continuity
it is. Like, yeah. who cares?
All right, this was just a little bit of my conversation with Jason Inman. We went on to talk about what you should be reading as we go into another lockdown and whether Marvel should retire the Punisher. So if you want to hear more of that conversation, you can go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers and you can listen to the whole thing there. Before we wrap up for today, Jason, remind the kids at home where they can find you and how they can go support Super Best Friend.
You can find me online on Instagram and Twitter at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. Just search Jason and it'll be the top thing. We have a podcast called Geek History Lesson, which comes out every single week. DJ has been on it several times. So if you want to talk about characters of pop culture and learn about them, that's where you come. And then superbestfriendcomic.com or anywhere on my Twitter. That's where you can support my new superhero 48-page comic book on January 19th to February 18th.
So go check it out. Go give that some love. Go support it. This comic's always incredibly great.
Thank you.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash, and you can follow the show at Only Stupid Answers everywhere that matters. But on Twitter, you're going to want to yank the vowels out of stupid. And if you want to watch Roxy and I do the OSA show live every Friday, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Thank you all, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.